Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 105, your one stop for manga news and commentary for the week of July 14th, 2014. I am your main host, producer, director, executive director, and best boy, Derek. And I am joined by my news anchor and co-host, and I have not thought of other titles for him, Mo.
I just have two titles, hello. Good morning.
Yes, oh, I guess you could add co-contributor to that as well, or contributor to that or something, but, yeah. I just keep thinking, it's like, yeah, I can just give myself all the titles that mean I'm in charge. Director? I'm in charge. Producer? I'm in charge. Executive producer? I'm in charge, and also I have self-worth issues.
Some things have happened in the past week, or rather this past week, and I was just all like, wow, this is, you know, first of all, I even though this is a manga podcast, I still like video games. I just want to point out that, holy crap, that Smash Brothers reveal was freaking awesome. I am so excited, I want to get a 3DS. I hate you people who have a 3DS right now. Or Wii U.
Oh, speaking of 3DS... there is that One Piece game, that new one that came out. Actually,
Red World.
Yeah, Unlimited Red World. Yeah, I should look into that. I haven't played Unlimited the previous game that came out on the 3DS. I kind of got it, and then I got to a point where I was like, well, this was kind of dull.
The RPG one?
Yeah. Which was a bit dull, but...
I would have played it. I don't care as long as it's fun.
Granted, I still need to finish Zelda and Pokemon, so...
I played the Grand Adventure on the GameCube, the one with the four kids dub voices, and I was like, you know, I don't care. I liked it.
Yeah.
See, I can enjoy something that's horrible, even if it's, you know...
Yeah, I've got two of the GameCube One Piece games. Was it One Piece Pirate Party or some Pirate One Piece Carnival or something like that.
Yeah, we have a PS2.
Yeah, that one I was like, this doesn't look very interesting.
And then we can sell it because they stopped accepting PS2 games at GameStop. I'm like, oh.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah, but let's see. Yeah, well, I think we should probably get into the news. This week we want to try to keep things a little bit shorter so that we don't end up using everyone's entire weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start off with the Japanese comic rankings for June 30th through July 6th. And in 10th place, we have...
let me open that first.
Kinnikuman, volume 47.
Okay. 9th place, Kagero Daze, volume 5.
8th place, Arpeggio of Blue Steel, Volume 9.
7th place, I Am a Hero, Volume 15. I am not a hero.
6th place, Gintama, Volume 55.
5th place, Food Wars, also known as Shokugeki no Soma. It is known as Shokugeki no Soma.
You forgetting something?
What did I say?
You're forgetting something.
I said 5th place. Volume 8. Oh,
there you go.
4th place. It's got Volume 8. 4, 8, volume. Yeah.
4th place, Black Butler, Volume 19.
3rd place, Black Sis, Volume 13.
2nd place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 10.
1st place, Kuroko no Basuke, Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 28.
Yay.
Yeah, I think I am thinking about checking that series out. More like, I had more motivation. That's not motivation. That's not proper motivation, but motivation for me.
I've thought about it, but we'll see. Yeah, all right. New York Times manga bestseller list for June 29th through July 5th. In 10th place, we have Fairy Tail Volume 39.
In 9th place, we have Sword Art Online Aincrad.
In 8th place, we have Attack on Titan Volume 2.
7th place, Sword Art Online Fairy Dance Volume 1.
That one. 6th place, Pokemon Adventures Volume 23.
Ah, the Fire Red Leaf Green arc. 5th place, Yu-Gi-Oh! Zeo, Volume 5.
Yeah. Not sure how that Fire Red and Green Leaf arc makes sense, because isn't it the same story as Red and Blue?
Yeah, I know it is, but I think it's because they traveled to the Sevii Islands instead, that's why.
Okay, that makes
sense. Which was introduced in Fire Red Leaf Green, which was pretty awesome.
Right, okay. All right, well, Fourth place, Attack on Titan Volume 1.
Third place, Nisekoi, False Love Volume 4.
Second place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets Volume 1.
First place, Naruto Volume 66.
Tisk, tisk. Alright. North American anime and manga releases July 6th through the 12th. Let's see, we've got the Flowers of Evil Blu-ray and DVD complete collections.
Naruto Shippuden set 19 DVD.
Sasami-san at Ganbaranai DVD complete collection.
Okay, when you start putting at in their titles, I'm starting to get irritated here. Anyway,
weird, but yeah. Anyway.
07 Ghost, graphic novel. Yeah, for manga releases, 07 Ghost, volume 11.
Case Closed, volume 51.
Full Metal Alchemist, volume 22, 24, omnibus.
Ranma 1/2, 5 and 6 omnibus. We already reviewed that last week. That's... Okay, I'm convinced that came out July 8th, but we reviewed it before then. You know, I'm convinced that... You know, I'm pretty certain that Barnes & Noble was not meant to have it out that early.
Well, yeah, some game companies deal with their games, but yeah, I know.
Mm. Oh, well, we got it early. Rinne, Volume 15. That's still going? Seven?
Well, yeah, it's still going, just that people can't read it online because of, I don't know, somehow this is the only Sunday series that they won't let scanlators have it go at.
Well, they had it, they were releasing the latest chapters, you know, officially, pretty early on, but weird. Anyway, yeah, next one.
The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 3.
Hey, Sherlock Bones, Volume 6.
UQ Holder, Volume 2. That series.
Let's see. One Piece, Unlimited World, Red, Nintendo 3DS for the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah, that one. Vampire Hunter D, Novel, Volume 21.
Cool. All right, let's see. And what other news do we have? Let's go through this quickly.
Well, I don't know why this hasn't come up at the... What is this? Was this test? Okay. Ryoga Naruto Stealth Symphony manga is going to end... Well, this is news that's from... I picked up from last week.
Right.
But it's going to end this week.
Yep. Last chapter is this week.
Yeah, I'm not even surprised.
We were kind of expecting it. Especially after the main character died last week. I mean, granted, we could have done a, oh, hey, look, he's still alive. Let's continue the story. But that was a pretty final move there.
I mean, yeah, if you get your head cut off, you're generally dead. I mean, you should be dead.
Speak for yourself, mortal.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yes. Did you not know that is the secret to why white people took over the world at one point? It's because under the right conditions, we are actually immortal.
So we
this is fact.
And, huh?
And then, we survive.
Wait, so you're vampires?
Yeah, I know that a lot of people certainly think so.
That's horrible. That's horrible, anyways.
You know, that's probably where most of the vampire myths came from, was people seeing, you know, white people from the north for the first time and being, okay, these people look unnaturally pale. They're vampires. Like, but so we don't even have a vampire mythology. Don't care. They're vampires.
So I'm guessing the Chinese must have thought you guys hopped on your 2 feet every time while your arms were stretched.
Well, that wouldn't be the worst thing they've probably thought of us.
Yeah. Anyways. Yep. Crunchyroll manga adds GTO Paradise and Japan Sinks. Oh, look, Japan Sinks. I think I talked about that a while ago.
You mean GTO Paradise Lost? Isn't that the phone title?
Yeah. Sorry. I meant, yeah, GTO Paradise Lost and Japan Sinks.
Japan Sinks.
Yeah, the one by that, you know, that one mangaka who passed away a few years back, and they found one of his older series.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was, like, buried or something. Like, okay, nice.
Nice. Yep. Okay, that's
good. Yeah, I took a look at Paradise Lost, like a few pages of the first chapter. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's part of an ongoing, you know, it's part of a larger series, so, you know, no guarantee that you'll get what's going on. GTO is one of those series that it's a classic, but never really got around to reading or watching it ever.
Yeah. It's the series that made the whole delinquent or something teacher, you know, thing popular or something like that.
Indeed. Yeah.
All right. Oh, here's something to get excited about, though. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Battle of Tennessee gets a print edition in fall of 2015.
fall of 2015.
Gosh, yeah.
Darn it. It's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while. I didn't start reading it right now.
Well, no, but, you know, okay.
I mean, I'm caught up on the anime right now. I'm actually caught up on the anime of part three so far right now.
Yeah, but so I guess in fall we can start, as they start bringing out the print editions, we can start going over part one, then part two, and so on. I kind of wonder if they are...
Oh, okay, hang on, let me finish. What? Okay. The company's going to release JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Phantom Blood, the first part of the series, digitally in September and in print in February 2015.
Right, okay.
There's a case. I don't know if I caught that last time.
Wait. So which part is Battle Tendency again?
Part 2, the one with Joseph.
Oh. So they're doing a print edition of that. Does it mention that they're doing a print edition of
the digital Phantom Blood? Yeah, the print edition is going to be in February of 2015. The digital edition of part 2 is going to be available next March. So, okay, here.
Okay, Phantom I think
Blood,
I see it.
First part, digital in September and in print in February 2015. So this September for Phantom Blood in digital and in print February 2015 of next year. And then Battle Tendency part 2, it's going to be printed digitally in March 2015. And then the print edition comes out in fall 2015. So, like,
okay, I got you. Right. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I guess then in February of 2015, we'll start talking about Phantom Blood.
Be a good time then.
Yeah. Because, you know, we want to talk about the print editions, not the digital ones.
It is a magnificent series.
Indeed. We'll definitely get into that. And it's nice that they're releasing those, because that kind of gives us an opportunity to do it legally, even though before we reviewed it and it was not so legal because we had to rely on scanlations when we reviewed part one. But looks like your looks like your postponing the continued review has paid off.
Just as planned.
Just according to Keikaku.
Dang, I was trying to remember what was that phrase.
Ah. Indeed. Ooh, hey, the second chapter of Batmanga is out.
That's nice. Anyways, moving on to the next bit of news. Viz Media adds The Girl Who Leapt Through Time digital manga. No print so far. I don't know if there's a print, but I've seen the anime, and it's pretty good.
I have seen the movie. I quite liked it.
I mean, movie.
It's an anime movie, but yeah.
Movie. Film. I've seen the film. Anime film. Horrible.
Yes, indeed, quite so.
You'll figure, but the thing about this one is that it's actually, you told me that it's right before, this is actually sometime after the first part of the story, which is, yeah, it's kind of like an unconnected sequel or a sequel. Is it? Was it? You told me, I don't remember.
Right, yeah, it's like they had a light novel, and then there was a sequel to the, and then the sequel to the light novel was the movie. Why is my Apple password not working?
Apple doesn't like you.
This is a problem. Anyway, yeah, okay, what else do we have?
Oh, okay, these last two bits are One Piece news. South Korean One Piece exhibition has been canceled due to Japanese flag art. Okay. When I looked this up, at first I was like, what? I didn't want to sound like a jerk because I know about Korea's history with Japan, and man, it is really, really hatred heavy, as far as I know. I can understand the reason why it was canceled, because they were gonna put the exhibit, the One Piece exhibition, in a war museum dedicated to Korean activists or something, Korean war veterans.
Right.
That's kind of like insulting, such how Japan was to Korea back in like the 40s or something. Forties. Horrible stuff.
Yes.
And of course, we covered some of the news previously about Korea's little, you know, this is not the first time it's happened, you know, due to such a thing with the whole Comfort Women news, and I covered, and the other stuff. I don't know what the other stuff was, but
Yeah.
In a way, I looked up Japanese flag art and I thought it was stupid, but then I found it and I was like, oh wow. It looks like the rising sun almost, but I can see why. But at the same time, it was a very bad idea to try and display it in a war museum. Very bad idea.
Yeah, there are definitely still some tensions there that...
I mean, we have a veterans museum in Balboa Park, and I don't think anybody would be that stupid to suddenly go, let's have a convention there. No.
Or let's display art from our sworn historical enemies. Maybe not the best choice, but it is a lot of people are thinking it's, you know, that way, but you're being overly sensitive. But at the same time, you're sort of like, I can sort of understand the reasoning.
At first, I would have been like, hey, this is kind of stupid. But then when I saw war museum, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. If it was any other kind of museum, it would have been fine. But if it was a war museum dedicated to, you know, Korean War veterans or something,
then
I can understand. I can actually vouch for the South Koreans actually have a reason to, like, no, you can't put this here. Not a good idea. Don't. And all this kind of sad for the Korean fans of One Piece that are like, oh man, we're going to get an exhibition and Taiwan gets one. Yeah, I know. You'll have to plan elsewhere.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, but I think there's talks that they are planning to find a new place, you know, to hold it. So hopefully.
Make sure it's not a war museum, guys, or any museum dedicated to Koreans. Any Korean museum. Okay, actually, that's...
Well, not so much. It is just an issue of the fact that it was in a war memorial, which is maybe not the best choice. So.
Okay, let's have some like really exciting One Piece news. It's surprising. One Piece might last another decade. Okay, so according to what Oda says, this is what he says. After 17 years, after more and more new characters being created in the story, I couldn't stop inspiration coming to my head. Oda told China Times via OP Forum, I think I can continue drawing for another decade. Mm. And then he said that new characters will be joining the One Piece crew. I don't think he means the Straw Hat crew. I kind of mistook it as the Straw Hat crew, but... He means like new One Piece characters will appear that we have yet to even see.
Hmm. Interesting.
And since it's a grand line, it's definitely got a lot to go through. I mean, getting to so called all of them, the end of the grand line to me, where One Piece is supposed to be, is definitely gonna be a long, long feat. I mean, even Roger took a long time to get there, of course.
Yeah, it's certainly
Well, at first I was like, I think you better just try and end on your own pace. But yeah, he wants to continue it. Hopefully, I'm not. At first, when I read, I was like, okay, is it the magazine urging him to say, hey, you should continue this? Don't try and end it yet. I'm like, no, that'd be bad. I'd be pretty upset if that was the case. But it seems like he wants to do it. And as we've seen of Oda, he definitely enjoys this. He definitely puts his freaking heart into this series more than any manga I've seen so far. Okay. I'll include Togashi too, because Togashi gets his butt kicked writing Hunter x Hunter as well. That much I can say.
Yeah, certainly. Yep. It certainly is. It's exciting, and knows that we'll have One Piece for a long time to come. So
just for another decade.
Yeah. Let's still. I mean, heck, by that time it probably ends. I'll probably be like. Almost in my 40s, so.
By the time it ends, I'll be 35.
Yeah, I know. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is...
Hey, Derek, remember the time when we thought One Piece was going to end? It finally ended.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I mean, I kind of like One Piece to end, so I don't, have this conscious of, authors suddenly passing away before they finish the series. I really, really, this is a personal opinion, this is really personal, like... pre-grudge of mine, but if I see Oda's name in author existence failure in TV trolls, I am going to be so upset. Really upset.
Well, yes, of course, people will be. And, okay, one sec, let's see.
But yeah, the man needs more sleep. I'm going to say that much.
Indeed, yeah. I don't know how he survives on only 4 hours of sleep. If I could do that, that would be amazing.
Unless he eats a lot, you know.
Well, I don't know if that would help all that much, but...
It kind of would help. You know, eating a lot, having energy, but walking around, taking breaks, too. Some people can survive on 4 hours of sleep, but any less than that, probably not. It's not a good idea. But he really needs more sleep, far as I can say.
Yeah, certainly. All right, come on.
Time to lap cat. Okay, let me finish the interview. I didn't get to finish reading it. Let's see. I have no days off. In 2012, Oda said he slept from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Been waking hours hard at work on One Piece. He says, I have no days off. If I had them, I'd want to go on vacation with my family. I just want to go outside. Doesn't matter where. See? I don't get out much. Okay, I continue the interview from, you know, the one I just read. As I'm getting older, I slightly adjusted my sleep time. I go to bed at 8 in the morning and wake up at 12 noon, making sure to have 4 hours of sleep. Don't even worry about my health. It's all fine now. If you say so, dude.
Yeah, we're totally not going to worry. Jeez.
Not going to worry. Okay, I'm going to... sleeping pills. Take sleeping pills, well, they'll probably help you. Don't overdose on them, please.
Yeah, chances are he wouldn't be able to get his stuff done then.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah.
That's why he takes those 1 week breaks to sleep and stuff. So actually it does help. He takes those 1 week breaks to work on the series, sleep. Yeah. In a sense, yeah, those 1 week breaks do help. I mean, if he just kept going and going and then took breaks only when the publishing company took breaks, bad idea.
Indeed, quite so. Yeah, I think those previous breaks were only mostly just for, you know, those were just for, whatchamacallit. Yeah, those were just because, you know, for health reasons, not so that he can sleep. So, yeah. So, well, that's good news. Good news that he's feeling well.
Yeah, even though we thought that that the Straw Hat Reaping style body was a halfway point in the arc, so
Yes, indeed.
But it's gonna continue a little longer, then. I mean, we have the supernovas to consider. Remember that? There's so many of them.
Yes. True.
And then he says we need more new characters. I'm like, holy crap! What can there be? I can't think of any DMs. I mean, I already suspect that, you know, eventually we'll see the Elbob Giant. And Vegapunk at some point. I mean, he's been mentioned. He's going to appear at some point. We know that much.
Well, yeah. Of course.
Maybe Gin might return.
Highly doubt that.
Probably not.
Okay, let's see.
Well, it's possible he might have died off screen. You know, he had those wounds that were probably pretty dangerous.
I have a hard time imagining that. That'd be silly.
That would be silly. They weapon again. Oh, he's dead. Oh. My condolences. Tonfa guy. Tonfa cannonballs on the end of the Tonfa. Okay. So yeah, that's the One Piece news. That's the One Piece news right there. That's all the news so far. For now.
Cool. Excellent. Well, in that case, let's see.
It's hoping One Piece doesn't go all the way Dragon Ball, you know.
Yeah, that is, yes, that is true. That is very true. And all right then, well, let's go ahead and let's move on. We are going to, let's see, let's go ahead and talk about the manga reviews for the week.
Okay.
Starting with the newest release, The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 3. All right, so this volume is, let's see, carries off a little bit. Well, sort of wraps up the...
I like how the arm wrestling brought down the prison. Like,
yeah. That was quite funny.
It's like, I put this spell, nobody can break through. And like, okay, how about they break out? How about they break from inside of it?
Yeah, and we wrap up, and so there we wrap up the prison arc and everything. And let's see, and... Yeah, they kind of, you know, everyone's like, oh, we now have bond, we're together and everything is good, etc. And so that's nice. And let's see, so we continue, let's see,
King appears.
Yeah, we do get that. Let's see. Yeah, we do get that. Let's see. It kind of moves on. We see that King is working with, is working with Gil Thunder. So you're like, wait, what's this all about? But he doesn't look anything like he's supposed to. And then you see him and Bond. He seems to have something against Bond because he attacks him, but Bond doesn't recognize him.
He stabs him. That's like, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
Yeah, and then, it is really funny how you have Bond, who is just like, right, I don't recognize this guy, and then Diane and Meliodas show up, and they're both King. It's like, immediately recognize him, and then Bond's reaction is, so wait, what part of that is King?
And it's Bond's like, reactions are hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, I guess he's lost a little weight. It's like, that's not a little, and it's besides the point. And yeah, and so looks like King doesn't have a problem with Meliodas or Diane, so he just leaves instead of, attacking them. And they decide that they're going to get to the capital of the dead, which is this sort of otherworldly place where you can meet those that have died, and they get run into another.
Reminds me of the horror play about Final Fantasy X.
A little bit, yeah. And then you find out that the reason that King has hates Bond is because, he killed the Bond killed the saint of, what was it?
Of the Fountain of Youth or
yeah.
something.
And that girl and that saint was his little sister, Elaine.
Yeah, I'd be mad too.
And so, yeah, and then King is like, oh, yeah, even, and Bond is all, oh, I can't die, so you can't kill me. But then King is, I'm going to turn you to stone. And then we have we run into another holy knight, Gwila, who, in order to enter the land of the dead, she basically kills herself.
That's a very clever way of doing it. I mean, I didn't think mm-hmm. to do that. Like, oh, how do I get inside? Only dead people go in there. Okay.
Yep, and they, of course, have some trouble fighting her because she's the new enemy and they need to get used to fighting her. Mm. And then you end the volume with Bond being turned completely to stone.
Because if you can't kill an immortal, you just imprison them mm-hmm. permanently.
And we also see a feminine-looking figure kind of standing a little bit to the side. And you're like, oh, what's this all about?
Who is this?
And so... Yeah, and then we also have a little bit of an extra bonus chapter at the end called Nothing Wasted, where Meliodas sends Hawk and
Elizabeth
to buy some groceries. But Elizabeth, being completely unused to spending money or not having enough, gets sidetracked and ends up buying a hairbrush, and Hawk ends up buying a plate. This farmer gives them these vegetables for free because she was all sad, but she ends up accidentally... destroying them.
How did she break them? I don't get
it. It's like she trips and they fall on the ground.
Everything broke. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Something's got to be sturdy, at least dent.
And it's like, do the whole, like, Hawk is like, nothing has been wasted. And then he ends up eating the food from the ground. And yeah, and then in the end, Meliodas is actually really kind of angry, even though he doesn't show it, and it's kind of hilarious.
FY, pigs will eat anything. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Indeed.
But yeah.
That is volume one of... What on earth? Sorry, I keep getting distracted by the DC Comics app because it won't let me buy anything. It's like I keep trying to buy the new volume of the Bat manga, but it keeps not working. Either it says...
It probably thinks you're not a Batman fan enough.
Either it says, oh, hey, you we can't recognize your ID, or anytime I try to put my password in, and now it's just not, like, I click the button to buy it, and it says purchasing, loading. And then it doesn't let me put in my password. And
I get that with Steam, but it just takes a long time.
It's really irritating.
But yeah, some thoughts about the volume.
Yes, we should probably...
Okay, like I said, the whole bringing down the prison with arm wrestling was just hilarious.
Yes.
Let's see, King's appearance, like, very soon after Bond joins, is like, wow, they're going to get in that fast or something? And then his his meeting bond, the first meeting in such a long time, apparently. It's like, I'm like, wow, okay, that's how you say hello to someone in like a long time. You stab him through the chest with your spear. I'm like, that's a new way to say hello.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it certainly is. And I like how it shows that, you know, the difference between and. Yes.
Oh, yeah, and then there's a new holy knight who, you know how they have a manga in Japanese. They make their characters so androgynous. I can't tell from that.
No, that one's a girl.
Yeah, well, the first time I read this, I was like, is that a guy or a girl? Like, oh, my God. See, when you've seen so much of this, you start questioning yourself. You're like, is that a guy or a girl?
Like, are you a boy or a girl?
This is where Professor Oak's question comes in. Are you a boy or are you a girl?
Girl.
Yes,
silly Professor Oak. Yeah, I. Yes. All right. Let's see. Man, this is really weird. This is driving me crazy. Now the Comixology app won't work on my iPad.
But yeah, and then there's the part how Gwila enters the Capital of the Dead. I'm like, wait, she's dead. Is she dead? Dead or because the other guys didn't enter and they didn't die?
Yeah. It is peculiar, I must say.
Yeah.
We'll kind of have to see where this goes. But
really, what are your thoughts on the volume?
Overall, I quite liked it. I like the how the focus is on Bon, and I like how, you know, they're showing that, hey, you know, there's a reason why they're not all together right now. You know, some of them have kind of a bit of a grudge against each other.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, so it was, yeah, so you do see, it's like, oh, yeah, it's like King has a legitimate reason for it to be angry.
And he kind of has a bit of a thing for Diane, I think, too, right? Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they do. Well, they don't show it as obvious as later on, but it is kind of shown that, you know, when Diane shows up, he's sort of like, okay.
Hello, never mind. Hello.
Yeah,
so I kill Bond in front of her. I just leave.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. And all right. So yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to add about that?
I just hope that. Wait. I think there's like how many Bonds are there in Japan so far? Oh,
8? Isn't there? Didn't we? Oh, no, wait, no, that wasn't it. You know, I don't know.
That might have been, supposedly the fourth one's going to come out when again?
Well, the fourth one is, you mean the fourth volume coming out here?
Yeah, here.
One sec, let me look that up. Let's see, manga releases. Just pulling that up right now. Takes a sec.
All right, after that, we're going to move on to the next one.
There we go. All right, Seven Deadly Sins, that one's coming out in September.
Okay.
And this week, we're getting Fairy Tail Volume 40 and Terraformars Volume 1, by the way. So,
oh, crap, I still haven't caught up.
Thus, we have, yeah, so I'm probably going to find some time, probably on Friday, I'll go pick those up from Barnes & Noble, and so we know what we're talking about next week.
I ended up watching anime instead of reading manga. I should have been reading instead.
Yes, yes, you should. All right.
I miss anime, though. Anyway, yeah, so next one.
Yes, the next one. Now let's go ahead and talk about the comics, the manga that we're catching up on, which is Attack on Titans Volumes 5 and 6.
You mean I'm catching up on? You read that like twice or something, I bet, a million times.
Well, when I say we, I mean us as in the podcast.
Oh, yes, yeah.
All right, so Volume 5. Let's see. We start off with the story of, what's it? You've got, what's her face? The one, what was her name again? Ilsa, the one, a member of the, why did I forget their name?
Wasn't that like Survey Corps? Scouting?
Yeah, the Survey Corps.
Oh, Survey Corps.
Yeah, it's like she ends up, you know, without her horse, her gear doesn't work, so she's trying to escape, and, you know, somehow she's like, you know, she's constantly, you know, as she's running away, she's writing in her diary, which
that's
seems
very
odd.
amazing, actually.
But yeah.
I'm running away, but I'm going to record stuff regardless. Okay.
Yeah, and then she ends up encountering this Titan that doesn't eat her immediately, and it actually speaks. Let's see, it says, a subject of Ymir. And he says, Lady Ymir, and so you're... And then it starts acting really weird. She tries to escape, it chases her down, catches her, and then it eats her.
Actually, it eats her after she yells at it.
Yeah, and then...
Because I'm like, okay, you're going to talk to it, and then I'm like, okay, yeah, shout at the Titan and say, get information out of it.
Yeah, and then Levi and Hungi find her journal. And so, yeah, you get this whole introduction of, oh, hey, wait a minute, something's going on here. There's something about someone called Ymir, and we know someone called Ymir, but what is the deal with her?
Well, there is a so-called god called Ymir in Norse mythology, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that one of the monsters or something? I forget.
I can't remember specifically off the top of my head, but I do know that there is, that is from Norse mythology, so... Yeah, we'll kind of have to see what the deal here is, because this, you know, just as we keep reading, we're going to have to keep going and seeing what the heck's going on. And, all right, but the actual volume itself, and, oh, hey, there we go, my purchases are now working on the app. But, yeah, anyway, the actual volume itself starts off with Eren's trial, and where he's all, oh, hey, I'm... Everyone's like, oh, he's a Titan. We should kill him. And Eren's like, don't kill me. And then you've got...
I'm useful.
Yeah, and then Levi beats him up just to show, hey, look, I'm beating him up. He's not turning into a Titan. He's not so dangerous. And he ends up being allowed to join the Survey Corps. Mm. And you have, of course, some humorous moments as they go to this castle that they're going to be... That Levi and the rest are going to be, staying in for the meanwhile. And of course you got them all cleaning it and it's kind of humorous. And yeah, you get to meet the rest of Levi's team. You get to meet Hange and you see her experiments on the Titans and how she's kind of crazy.
I like that.
And it is kind of fun how, you know, Eren is like, I should learn more, you know, I should learn more about the Titans, so I'm going to ask her about her research. And then she ends up talking to him all night, and he wakes up in the morning, and yeah, and so she's like, he was like, you know, in fact, everything I've told you is already taught to trainees, but you knew that, didn't you? And he's just staring with, like, these bags under his eyes, like, yes, I knew it already. It is like,
oh, now for sure.
Yeah, then let me explain it to you again. This time it mixed in with my own speculation. He's like, what? Look, it's already... And then fortunately he's spared because the Titans they'd been experimenting on have been killed. So everyone's trying to figure out, okay, who did this? And it's all a big mystery. They're examining everyone's gear to see, okay, the only way someone could have killed this is by using their gear, so we need to take a look at their everyone's 3D maneuvering gear and see if it was used on if it was used since the last time we checked in an unauthorized capacity. And so yeah, so they do that and then we move on and they decide they need to recruit some more people from the new trainees. And Irvin, the commander of the Survey Corps, is basically, yeah, if you go out, you're probably going to die. So.
Yeah, he's being honest. He's like, hey, you can join us, or you can go and leave. I'm not trying to force you, but remember.
Yeah.
We are the ones that keep you guys alive in the first place.
Yeah, and it is kind of more, he's just like, look, this, what we're going to do is pretty much impossible. It's going to mean another 20 years of work and 5 times the casualties that we've already, experienced. And then you've got the only ones that stay are pretty much all of the main characters or the named characters.
Main characters.
Yeah, except Annie. Except Annie. Yeah.
There's a panel for just leaving after Erwin gives his speech, and it's like, I'm like, oh, look, Annie's leaving.
Yeah, and everyone's basically decided, okay, you know what, this is, you know, we need to actually do something. We can't just, those that could have been military police are like, oh, no, we can't just leave and become military police. We actually have to do something, even though we're absolutely terrified.
Yeah, Connie wanted to become a military, but he's like, I don't know what to do then. And Sansa just freaked out. She's like, I don't know what to do. And then you're like, oh, wait, we're part of Survey Corps? Oh, crap.
Yeah. And we've got, and you see, and you see the ones remaining, and most of them look, have some, oh, well, it looks like you do actually get some people that weren't from the main, the main named group. We've got like 1, 2, 3, 4 there in the background.
Oh, but, they'll be dead. You know, they're playing times. Oh,
yeah.
Dead.
They're unimportant. But it did show that, it's not just the main characters. But
yeah.
Pretty much everyone there either looks like they're about to vomit or they are bawling their eyes out or they look absolutely shell-shocked. And so.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it's kind of. Yeah. It's so everyone's like, yeah, I do not feel good. No, and of course, Annie is the only one that's smart about it. She's like, screw you guys, I'm out of here.
I don't want to fight Titans against Starfire myself.
Yep. And then we immediately go on the next expedition, which is, they're trying to, put together a new route to be able to get to Walmeria. Or, yeah, I think it's
Maria. Wait, they were trying to Walmeria?
Or was it Rose? I don't know. The outside wall.
I think it was Walmeria.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Rose is the one that's keeping that got that hole that they're trying to block in. Right. While Marie's only taking over.
Yeah, and basically the rest of the rest of the volume is basically an explanation of, hey, here's how their formation works. This is why they're spread out, and they have to you've got the. Them, they take care of Titans that get close. And they also get attacked by an abnormal female type Titan, which basically looks like a woman but without any skin over her muscles. So
all those who want to know what the female Titan would look like, there you go.
It's pretty much the only one we've seen so far, but I find out that the the female Titan brought in a horde of Titans and annihilated the eastern? I don't know, the right flank.
What's worse than a horde of zombies? A horde of Titans.
Pretty much, yeah.
You can't kill them easily at all.
Yes, indeed. And also worth pointing out is, of course, the silly preview for the next volume is a preview for a love story between Hange and the Titan being. Which, I love how it's like, they're meeting that transcended fate. They're meeting that transcended race, and they're parting. A love that overcame taboos brings a miracle into the world. Asterisk. Not a real preview. It's like, Volume 6, coming September 2013. Really? I absolutely love these. They're the dumbest things ever, but they're just so hilarious. Where it's like this stupid preview, and then it's like, not a real preview. So what do we think of Volume 5 so far? Or not so far, but I mean just in general, what do we think of Volume 5?
Okay, I gotta say the whole core thing with Aaron was a bit presumptuous. I understand that it had to be done because, you can't just go, you walk it off and all that. Man, this made me seethe so much, in a way. Yeah. Of course, the introduction of Levi's squad was great, but then I was like, oh, God. I know what's going to happen to them. I don't want, don't.
Yes, we haven't gotten to that point yet, so spoilers.
Spoilers? Well, you've seen the anime.
I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about anyone that's listening along with us and reading it volume by volume, but then again, they'd have read Volume 6 already.
So. Spoilers! Hange Zoe likes Titans, and not in that Titan-ish way.
Well, yeah.
Hange is probably one of my favorite characters to be introduced.
She's crazy. Yeah.
I like crazy people. Indeed. No, they don't kill people. Actually, no, I do like that too for some reason. Fictional people, not real people.
You're a freak.
I'm not a freak!
He's like, yeah, man, you freak. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, then. Let's carry on to Volume 6, which, to keep things simple, Volume 6 is the female Titan runs down Armin and, in a very creepy page, lifts up his hood to see who he is and then ignores him and doesn't eat him. And Armin's like, wait a minute, that's weird. Something's going on here. And then him...
She didn't eat me.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to eat me.
And then him, Jean, and...
Reiner.
Reiner, that's it. Yeah, there we go. I was like, it's something German.
Something German? You can't remember German.
Yes, well. And then they chase down the female Titan. They're like, okay, look, I've got this theory. Yeah, I've got this theory. It's probably looking for Eren. So we need to, you know, cover your heads because she's not going to kill you if, you know, unless she knows, unless she's certain you're not Eren. So give us an advantage. And they go after her. They try to stop her. But, of course, it does not work because this Titan is intelligent. It knows about its weakness. It protects its weakness. It doesn't eat them. It...
Thank goodness.
You know, it just...
But that's even worse.
You know, it actually, like, you know, it tries to crush them or smash them. But you've got, yeah, you've got Reiner that gets caught by her, but manages to get out in a pretty badass page. Mm. And, of course, you get a interesting number of ass shots and boob shots, which are kind of weird, because on the one hand, it's a naked female form. On the other hand, it is a little too naked, shall we say.
It's okay. Think of a human being about the skin.
Yes.
You're precisely. Staring at the inside of a skin, guys. If you're turned on by that, there's something wrong with you.
Well, I wasn't it.
But have fun with that anyway.
Wasn't it Dot Pixis that said that he wouldn't mind being eaten by a woman Titan?
If he saw that, I wonder what he'd react and be like.
He'd be like, oh, hello.
Please eat me. Yeah. Please eat me. You can eat me, but none of them can. That's just eat me.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it's not as obvious in here that, you know, she doesn't have skin. It's more like, oh, hey, look, she has a bunch of lines all over her because it's in black and white. I mean, when you see it in the actual anime or in color, it's like, yeah, she don't have no skin. But when you see it in black and white, it's not as obvious.
Yeah.
So.
Now it's like
a mom. As like, okay, yeah, what was it? Okay, yeah, I swear, wasn't it like, I think there was like, I think Reiner at some point mentions how she's got a nice ass. He's like, I swear it was mentioned at some point, wasn't it?
I don't know, but okay, just to back up on back to volume 5. It was introduced about the whole about the various type of Titans. That was interesting too, and so
the female Titan being
the intelligent one. That's like the scariest one of all because we have the typical who are easy to deal with, easy to kill. Mm-hmm. Demons are a little weird. They do their own thing, and intelligence are like think like us.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah, and I think at one point, and you also in volume, getting back to volume 6, Armin has a flashback back to when she was looking at him, and I guess it's meant to say that. I'm not sure. It looks like the Titan is saying Armin. Like she's recognizing him, which doesn't make much sense, but I think what it's meant to be is more those, he's lost in thought, and then he imagines her saying his name, but it's actually Reiner that's saying his name. At least that's what I think it is. It's a little confusing, but yeah. They get saved when Krista brings their horses back. And then
those three guys are like, oh wow, she's amazing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and then you find out that they're staying the course, they're not leaving, and they're continuing towards the Forest of Titans, and then you got some more of the Survey Corps face the female Titan, and we see that, hey, she's really dangerous, actually.
Really dangerous.
Because she, you know, she'll, like, grab someone by the, by their cable, and just spin them around, and it pretty much breaks their back in half, and she doesn't have to actually, you know, because with the force that she's spinning them in is kind of messed up. She kicks people, but yeah, she continues not eating anyone. But yeah, they get into the forest, and then they continue, and Levi carries on, the main column carries on, but all the, you know, the flanks have to stay and keep the Titans from entering the forest. And then you've got the female Titan that she keeps on, you know, she comes through and she's chasing down Eren's group. And you've got Eren who's like, I'm going to turn into a Titan and fight her. But then they're like, come on, trust us. You can trust us. It's okay. We're not going to die. And then you get a little bit of a flashback where you sort of see Eren's transformation and how he can't really completely control it. Like, you know, it's activated by self-harm, but they discover that, you know, you can't just turn into a Titan yet just by hurting yourself. There needs to be a reason for it. So it's like, you know, so you've got Eren who bites himself, but it won't transform. And then when he drops the spoon that he's going to use to stir his tea, he goes to reach for it and he turns into a Titan because now he had a purpose.
We get that spoon Titan form. What the?
Yeah, and you have all of them, you know, all of them that they try to attack him because, you know, they're like, oh, wait, why are you transforming into a Titan now? And he's like, I have no idea what's going on here.
I just want to get my spoon, guys.
Yeah. And, yeah, and then Hungi comes in and acts weird, but, yeah. And then, of course, you have a little more with a flashback, and it's like, oh, hey, we all apologize. Sorry about that. And they all do that kind of have an interesting moment where they all actually bite their own hands hard enough to draw blood. I guess kind of like how Eren does. And like, wow, that hurts. Sorry, we were kind of being douchebags, but you're constantly doing this, you know, constantly doing this to yourself. So
except when he does it, he regenerates his hand. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, wait, we didn't think this through.
Yeah, what hurts?
Yeah, and Eren basically decides to trust in his comrades because that is the shonen way. And then they keep going, and they discover Irvin laid a trap and has all these cannons, basically, in boxes that shoot these cables that hold down the Titan, and they're going to, you know, they're going to cut her out, basically, because they know that the area they've discovered that the area that they have to cut out to kill Titans is the same area where Eren is when he's inside his Titan form.
Nape of the neck.
And so they're starting to think, hey, wait a minute, something's going on here. And, yeah, so, yeah, it's a good volume. And we also have the next preview, which is Jean is like a sudden visitor, the tormenting case of puberty. Jean's horrific past will be revealed. And his mom is like, Jean, have you cleaned your room? And he's like, old lady, knock first. And he's hiding a book while throwing a cover over himself. And you're like, oh dear, was he caught masturbating?
Even in times of Titans eating people, you still have to have time to do that stuff.
Yeah, sure. But nonetheless, it's not an actual preview, so
yeah,
that was silly. Yeah, so that was Volume 6, which was mostly focused on, hey, look, the female Titan.
Yeah.
And I think it had a pretty good flow. It, you know, established how much of a threat this Titan is and why. It built, and it also provided us with a good stopping point for the volume when she gets captured. So I thought that was quite well put together.
Yeah, in a sense, they gave us a new threat that they were like, oh, these dirty Titans, you know, this colossal armor Titan. There might be other Titans like this, you know, the smart ones, like, oh, they were right, there's other Titans like them. Like, oh, crap, we're screwed. And then there's the part where Armin's watching one of their teachers actually trying to fight that, and then he gets killed. I'm like, wow. Wow. You know, the teacher was like, wow, man. I was like,
yeah, it's a lot of people die in this, but that was to be expected, of course.
Don't get attached to people.
Yes, do not get attached to characters in this show. It can only end in tears.
If you read a series where you see main characters dying, do not get attached to it, period.
Yes, quite so.
A lot of them, not just one, a lot of them.
Yeah, and I think overall, yeah, this is part of... I mean, yeah, I think for a lot of people, you know, the first four volumes, which is the attack on Stohess and everything, that's kind of like, you know, your big introduction. And this is the second arc. So how do you feel that this second arc, you know, how do you feel it stands up to the first four volumes, these next two volumes?
In a sense, when I finally caught up, I got into the later part of the second arc, and the scanlations didn't make it that easy to just read. I'd have to say that, yeah, even though I was uneasy about reading, I know what happened to the artist, it was actually good because, like, the the whole theme of time appearing, going, you know, that, like, they're like, oh, we're just going on a little, you know, run and all, run through, and all of a sudden, theme of time appears. Oh, crap. Theme of time. It's killed her fast. I was like, oh, crap. Never mind. She's that smarter than she looks. Oh, crap. She's killing most of us now. Oh, crap. We lost the right flank. Oh, crap. Oh, crap. You know that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I do find that this is kind of the moment where, you know, the first four volumes are your introduction.
And we do learn basically.
Yeah, but yeah, and these two volumes are kind of the, hey, will this, you know, will, is this series going to stand up? Is it, you feel like it's going to be worth continuing? And the interesting thing about this series is it's only 12 volumes long, and it feels like a lot happens, but when you get down to it, not that much, you know, you don't have that many, you know, there that many individual arcs or whatnot, essentially. So it's very interesting, in a way, how that turns out. But, yeah.
You know, I wonder, because of all those announcements about continue One Piece for another 10 years, but since Attack on Titan is the second, well, probably also the most popular series around the world, in a way, would Isayama probably change his mind and say, hey, yeah, I'm actually continue for a little bit longer just to get some things I want to get in? And I'm like, dude, if you say you're gonna end it, please. At some point, you know. Yeah. I mean, unless you do love the series, and not that you don't want to part of it, but at the same time, there's a thing as not dragging something on for too long. I mean, we're volume 6. We're kind of halfway from the current. Well, the current volume is 13, depending, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, they come out. Well, they come out pretty quickly here. You know.
So yeah, we're kind of like halfway now.
We'll see, you know, we'll see where things go with this, you know, this series, because we're reviewing the most recent chapters as well, but, you know.
Oh yeah, wait, there's something I want to cover. There was a part that bugged me about the whole, you know, the basement thing.
Okay.
The basement thing, okay. When they were in the courtroom and they were saying about, okay, you know, Aaron has this key that his father gave him, and it may uncover, it may unlock the secrets of time. And then I recalled that the basement is where his old home was, where the Titans are now invested over. And I'm like, first they have to recapture the so-called War District. Was that district, Shiganshina. And they have to first expel the Titans out. And I'm like, oh, that's why they can't just go into the basement and get the secrets like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Moron!
Yeah, that is... Yeah, it is. Yeah, that, I mean, that was kind of focused on. That was kind of the whole point. They explained that a lot. But that's why, you know, when if you didn't realize that at first, rereading helps. But, all right, did you have anything else you wanted to mention about either of these two volumes, just in general?
No, I think I said all I could.
Right. Okay. All right, then. In that case, let's see. So for next week, we're certainly going to be going over Fairy Tail Volume 40. We might go over Terraform Mars Volume 1 if I decide to buy it.
If you decide to buy it.
Yep. And I'm thinking we'll do Attack on Titan Volume 7 and 8 because I kind of want to get through that. So that would be 3 to 4 volumes for next week, which is about the average. So those are the ones. I'm not going to commit 100% to Terraform Mars, but we'll certainly be doing Fairy Tail and the Attack on Titan Volumes 7 and 8.
It's understandable. I mean, considering the series, you might be a little bit put off.
I'll have to see. I mean, I think what I'll do is I'll buy the first volume, I'll read it, and if I decide I feel like continuing, then I will. If not, I'll say, you know what? I'm a pass, but
that's
yeah.
Fine.
And then those are the last new releases until August. So, yeah, we're going to have to plan when we're going to start getting back into One Piece. So I'm going to need to organize my volumes and just see where I am and what I have left. Because I have, where'd I put my phone? Nah, whatever, unimportant.
July 15th, my older sister's birthday. I said happy birthday to her already, so it's fine. Yes. It's also Ichigo's birthday from Bleach.
Yay.
Right. Point that out, too.
Yes. All right, well, for next week, certainly Attack on Titan, certainly Fairy Tail, most likely Terraform Mars as well. But for now, we're going to take a quick break and then move on to the next segment. This is the manga commentary section for issue 33 of Weekly Shonen Jump. And this week, starting off with a Rurouni Kenshin Special Limited Series Part 1, Master of Flame, the story of Kenshin's arch-rival Shishio Makoto. And it's basically giving us a little bit of a backstory saying, hey, this is who Shishio was. And then it goes, and then it kind of goes on. And the rest of the story is basically about him and Yumi, his courtesan, who was pretty much with him at all times.
That was her name? Did her name even get said in this chapter?
I don't think it did, not specifically, but I swear I remember it was Yumi. But yeah, it's basically her being all, haha, you can't afford me, and him being all, erg, I am Shishio, erg, and whatnot. And then, yeah, and then you got some guys from, like, a civilian army thing that I'm sure if I knew anything about Japanese history, I would understand.
I don't. I only know about Sengoku, not that much, though, only because of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, it does do an interesting thing where it shows, like, you know, how often there were, you know, how often you have, you know, how often you have certain, you know, martial artists, they imagine the outcome of the fight, and, you know, and it's all, and then you cut back to the fight that was just their imagination. You kind of got that with, like, the leader of these soldiers who... It's a funny scene because he visualizes how the fight will go. He darts off by shooting Shishio in the head and then cutting him.
I'm like, yeah, right.
And I'm like, right, yeah, that's totally what would happen. But, yeah, and then you get some more talk about how, oh, hey. Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, you have, you know, you're all, the government, they are... cruel, and etc. And they kind of give a closer explanation as to what her deal was, because we get a bit of it during the actual series, but here this actually expounds upon that. And then you've got the other consort, who is like, ends up seeing like these secret plans for a, for like a battleship, I guess. And then the soldiers all, hey, nobody can see this, so they kill her. And I guess we assume they kill the two young girls that were with her, which is kind of messed up. Because that's the weird thing. Everything that I see from Watsuki recently is on the opposite spectrum, or like on the far outlying spectrum of what his work used to be. Either he can't help but be ridiculously silly, or he decides he's going to be massively depressing. And I think this one works better.
I did it myself, too.
Yeah. I think this one works better than his usual, than the last thing that we saw from him. Because, because the thing with it is that I think a lot of people that like Kenshin prefer the Samurai X OVAs, which are significantly more serious and more depressing than the manga ever was. And so it might be, so this would come across better, and I think that Watsuki is thinking, oh, hey, people like it when I get dark and depressing and whatnot, which, yeah, fair enough. I don't know. I just think...
Plus, it's about Shishio, you know, the one villain that we don't really know much about still, and an idea.
Yeah, it is definitely with the deal, yeah, since it is Shishio, it does make sense for it to be darker, and I think I like the... darker stuff a little bit more because his silly stuff is just ridiculous.
I don't want to see that merchant dude ever again, please.
Yes. I think overall the thing with this one is that it's just, since it's such a jump. Since it's such a jump from what we last saw, it's a bit shocking, you might say, which is kind of what that ending is supposed to be. But, yeah, it is kind of weird how every time I read something, manga that's based on historical Japanese events, and they're always, oh, look at how awful the people in the past were. And I keep having to remind myself, this is a dramatization. Don't go thinking that the Japanese were the worst people ever just because of a manga that you read. This is a dramatization. You don't know enough about the actual history to be able to say that. Also, your ancestors were Vikings, you descendant of a bunch of mass rapists, to which I say, shut up, me.
True. Kingdom, Vagabond, trying to list other historical fiction manga.
History itself. Yeah, you always have to take these into perspective and just not let yourself start thinking, oh, hey, this was such a horrible time. Everyone in Japan was an awful person at that time, which is definitely not true, but it's really hard not to think that when you see a manga where the entire purpose is, hey, look how awful these people are.
Well, your ancestors were Vikings, and my ancestors once used to have an empire in the southeast part of Asia, so... and not more than half a century ago, genocide. Yeah, horrible things. Anyways, this is actually a good chapter of about Shishio, because like you said, it's it works for him, because we know what kind of character Shishio is a bit more now, and how he met Yumi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although,
thankfully, no poop jokes.
Okay. No? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, there's a joke about the swords, but, that's fine, but no thing.
Right. But, there was the joke with, oh, are you embarrassed about the size of your sword down there? I'm like, now I can only imagine all samurai having these wakizashi hanging between their legs instead of natural penises.
No, do not make that.
Yes.
Please, nobody take the idea. I swear, please. Although, I do like Rusty from. I mean, he moved on from the old Tenshin. He wants to try something else different.
Yeah.
I don't blame.
Well, it feels a little more back to his roots, because I mean, when he did get dark with Rurouni Kenshin, so this feels a little more like he's taking it more seriously than the ridiculousness of the. The rebirth. Reboot, whatever. Anyway, let's move on to World Trigger Chapter 67, which is better than the past couple weeks have been.
There was a little bit of intel on this, like I said, World Trigger. I have to say, the one thing I actually like about it is how they have the whole strategies and such.
Yeah.
And with this one, there was the part where we kind of learned about how she was able to use that use the Treon back then.
Yeah. Yeah, and also what I'm liking is the fact that we're focusing back on the main character again, which makes things a lot easier, to enjoy the series, because I like Osamu. I mean, he's not exactly very powerful, but I still like him, and I also like how they... and also it was nice that we get a flashback with Katara
I love how she was just looking so happy. I'm like, happy.
He's like, Karasuma praised me, yay. And Osamu was like, ooh.
Senpai noticed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we basically get a little bit of strategizing about how it's easier to coordinate with ranged abilities. And then Osamu uses Chika's ability and uses his asteroid attack, which absolutely decimates one of the rabbits, which... good for them. And then one of the leader of the humanoids decides, I'm going to go out and capture the golden goose myself. And
like,
I'm
like, I guess it's time
bad for them.
I guess it's time for the leader to go out. Oh, that's me. Well, better go out
then. All right. It's like, hey, you, woman with the black horns. You should go out too. You've got a black trigger. What the heck are you doing just sitting there?
I'm back up.
Why are we wasting a black trigger? Yeah, it's like, why are we wasting a black trigger on the support, the whatchamacallit, the support
Support can wreck your stuff. Trust me, they can.
It's like you finally beat the others, like, ha-ha, now all we have left is the support person, and then she wrecks them. It's like, oh, well.
I summon meteors from the sky. Wait, what? What?
Yep, indeed. Oh, all right. Well, it was a good chapter. I quite liked it.
I kind of look forward to the anime now. I want to see how the anime works out.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, let's move on to Naruto chapter 684. We ought to kill him.
Well.
Which, this chapter, let's see. So, yeah, they basically the gist of the chapter can be explained as Naruto decides, you know what? I just need to summon all of the shadow doppelgangers, and eventually some of them will hit her, and they do. And then she decides to escape. He goes after her. Obito decides to go after her. She manages to kill Naruto, and she's like, oh, I killed the real one. Except it turns out that wasn't the real one, it looks like. And so, yeah, Obito and Sakura manage to sneak in thanks to that. And so, yeah. And so you end up wondering, it's like, wait, we killed the original, so why haven't all the clones disappeared? So it was an okay chapter.
Did it really die?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, that's why... I mean, sure, he doesn't disappear in, like, you know, a poof, but at the same time, you have to realize that, oh, hey, look, all his clones are still there, so... Yeah.
So confusing.
Yeah, but nonetheless, we'll see. But it was an okay chapter. I mean, this Naruto isn't my favorite series anymore by a long shot, but at the same time, I enjoyed it overall. It was a decent chapter. It had fighting. It had clever strategizing and all that. So I can't really complain about it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. All right, let's see. Hunter x Hunter, chapter 346. We're going to be brief on this one because it's basically them planning to go to the place talking about, oh, hey, there may be spies. Oh, we need to keep what's-his-face Beyond from being all, you know, from... escaping, and then Beyond's people are like, oh, hey,
so confusing.
He's going to escape, and et cetera, and all these people, and it's like, they did a hunter exam without us even seeing it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was interesting to read, but at the same time, I'm totally lost.
Yeah, I was lost, too. I was like, okay, basically, they planned, they split up into, like, I think four divisions, I think. And we kind of, and this time we had to get to see how each of the Zoias actually look like. And we get a closer up of, you know, everyone gets a closer up view of the ones that they like. You know, for the new people, we just get in and haven't bothered reading from the very beginning yet.
Mm.
Like us. So I was like, oh, that's how they look like. Okay. I like the rabbit one.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure you like the snake one, but yeah. The mouse guy looks pretty cool, though. I mean, his design just looks really, like, it stands apart. Like, I'm going to recognize that guy for sure every time I see him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And one of them is pretty, one of them's been around since he's, like, is pretty old. Like, one of them is, like, really, really old. But, yeah, the part where they were, Ying and Pearson were trying to, like, you know, Ying, Pearson, and the Tenponder were trying to figure out what to do. I'm like, wait, what's going on? And then it was the last page, it was like, okay, we have four options. One, Ying. Two, one, Pearson. Two, Ying. Three, you guys leave. Four, you guys die. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, that was fun. But, yeah, I always think, every time I see Ying, I'm just like, okay, his design looks so weird because he looks like the typical manga art style. With the shape of his face, but at the same time, you're just like, that style is usually used, is usually used for kids, and so he always looks like a little kid despite the fact that he has stubble. So that's weird.
Just imagine him as gone growing up. That's basically what we're getting.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway, we're moving on to Toriko chapter 284, Toriko's resolution, which is basically Komatsu senses air and he wants to go after it, but then the Herak is like, no, you're not going to do that. And Toriko says, I'll stay behind, you guys go ahead. So they use the, whatchamacallit, the Croaks wagon, which, of course, Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
And they manage to speed off, and Toriko stays back, shows off his punches, and causes like an earthquake and whatnot. And yeah, they're about to do a fight between him and the Nightmare Herrick that looks a lot more muscular than a horse has any place being. But what the heck? It's Toriko versus the Heracles of the Eight Kings.
Yep, he's going to fight one 8 Kings. Will he win? We don't know. Will he die? I don't think so.
Yeah. It was a good chapter. I enjoyed it. I mean, of course, they're not going to let him sacrifice himself, so.
But, yay for the frog guy.
Yeah.
And so moving on.
Yes. Yes, the next one is Bleach,
Chapter 588, The Headless Star 7.
Yeah, where they summon more of their soldiers, and then, Tenjiro Kirinji shows up and fights him, and
we know what's gonna happen. It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna kick your butt. You're like the first guy, Ivac meets. You're gonna lose and die.
Yeah. But he also, I do kind of like his Zanpakuto, how it's basically, you know, in its regular form, it's a paddle, but when he releases the Shikai, it becomes basically a spear with a paddle-ish shaped blade on it, which is kind of...
There's only one character I know who used a paddle as his primary weapon, and that's Ibari from Baten Kaido. Right. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then we kind of finish off the chapter with Yumichika and...
Ikaku?
Ikaku, that's it. I was at some kind of Kaku sound, but it was totally... what's the first letter?
I only remember Ikaku because those two like always teamed up, and I'm like, yeah.
It's kind of an interesting scene because you've got, what's her face, the zombie girl who... You know, she's trying to get them to cut her, and they're just kind of standing there, and they're like, she's really asking for it. And he's like, I know. So there's cutting her must mean something bad for us. So, maybe if we get sprayed by her blood. He's like, oh. He's like, I don't think that, but you shouldn't cut me. And he's like, you're not fooling anyone. You said something about an unarmed girl, but you're a man, aren't you?
Ah!
And this is why they're called traps. Okay? But this is pretty hilarious. Just his expression when he's, you know, when he's outed is just hilarious. And you've got Yumichika who's like, I can smell that you're a man. And I'm like, okay then. And then we discover that Bambietta is still around, but her skin is dark and her eyes are have these weird outlines around them, so chances are she's a full-on zombie.
I still love her.
Yeah, but...
Death to the trap.
Yeah, the thing is so, okay, what's his face? The zombie guy that looks like that pretends to be a girl is a, has obviously done something to her to turn her into a zombie thing. But at the same time, you kind of have to think, okay, so this is slightly more disturbing with the revelation that she is actually a he. So, and has Bambietta under his control, so I'm just a little,
Bambietta is a little messed up too.
But nonetheless, it is still kind of disturbing. It's a really disturbing ending, but... Other than that, I enjoyed the chapter. I mean, it was a fun chapter. Sometimes you like to be disturbed a little bit.
Not me.
Well, yeah, but...
Now I know how my friend feels about when he found out that Envy was actually a man, not a woman.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Nisekoi, chapter 130, which is basically a...
Interview.
Yep, the interview where... This first year from the school newspaper club is saying, hey, I suspect Rocko and Chitoge aren't a real couple. And they're panicking, and she's pretty much got it figured out, and they're trying to fake it, but she has several witnesses. Like, she talks to Marco, who they're like, the black bar is pointless. We know who that is.
Oh man,
just based on how she acts, and she's funny. And then of course she has an interview with Onodera, who the black bar doesn't even cover her eyes. So it's like, wait. You're not even trying to hide our identity. It's like, I didn't have enough editing time. And Onodera's is absolutely hilarious, as, you know, she's trying to lie about how Ichijo and Chitoge are a couple. And she's like, doo-dee-doo-dee-doo, just like the whistling. And, yeah, and then, of course, you've got Sugumi, who, yeah, and the black bar isn't even on her. It's
the bar, I give up.
Yeah, it's like just floating off to the side, and she's trying to say, like, oh, of course they're a couple, because Sugumi doesn't know that they're faking it. But then she plays the, don't you have a crush on him? And is like, wait, what are you talking about? And then the black bar starts being used, like, holding it up to her eyes and holding it down and stuff, and yeah, it's pretty funny. And then, of course, you've got Shu, who is wacky.
Oh, yeah, Shu.
It's like, why did you scramble his whole face? The look on his face was just too indecent.
It was probably like from Volume 3, or was it? Yeah, Volume 3 of Beast Koi, you know.
Yeah, and I love this. And when they're like, she asks Ruri, and it's like, Ichijo and Chitoge? Oh, yeah, they're a couple, totally. He's like, defend us, little. And then Yui is like, oh, you think they're just pretending? Good question. He's like, what are you driving us? Do you suspect us too? And then, of course, Raku has to leave, and then the girl asks Chitoge, is like, so, are you in love with him or not? And Chitoge gives the good face for the chapter when she confesses that, yes, she really is.
Mm.
And so, and then, of course, you end up, the newspaper girl got a picture of Chitoge's face as she was saying that, or was it a picture, or did she film it? I'm not sure.
She filmed it, I think. Not sure. Picture?
Yeah.
I think she took a picture of it, but it makes more sense to take a picture.
Yeah. I don't know. Because they're
a newspaper. She filmed it, but it's a digital camera, so she probably took a picture of it.
Yeah. Well, she could have filmed it with a digital camera, but yeah, anyway, so it was a good chapter. I mean, if you're not a fan of Chitoge actually being in love with Raku, you may not enjoy it as much, but still a good chapter. Fun.
It's the paparazzi part. I did not like the paparazzi part.
I thought she was hilarious.
The black bar. I guess the black bar was more good.
Yeah, and I do like how they play the whole, oh, hey, I've totally figured you out, so no point in hiding it.
I was like, you liar. You were just trying to do it just to fuck him. But they was like, oh, man, you guys, they were so badly hiding it.
Yeah, I can't really blame her. She's just doing her job, even though it's part of a club. But nonetheless, you gotta have, you know, you gotta have reporters and stuff. But anyway, let's move on to Stealth Symphony, Chapter 20, about that man's invisibility, chapter. Part 5. Also, yes, the final chapter. And we'll stay short on this one because it's also short. We find out that the, what's his face? The, What was it?
Soya.
Oh, right, yeah.
Soya,
yes. He was also, turns out that he too was once a dragon, but he was the previous black dragon, I guess. And so he stuck around, he died, but he came back as a zombie because they needed the power of the black dragon to kill the next black dragon. Mm. And then you've got the dragon lady, and she's all, it's time for our triumphant return. And then and then the cyborgs show up to help. So, hey, they're there. Yay. And he'd hired them because he was like, I'm going to cause trouble with them. But then he's like, I might as well use them now. And then you've got Troma that sucks up all of the ship's energy and everything. So they can't, and then uses it against them, so they can't, the dragons can't escape. And then we get a flashback where we find out that, Jig had come to Soya to ask him to, he said, hey, you gave me a discount on an assassination. I want you to kill me. And then you get a few days later where they're at his funeral, or they're in front of his grave, and Soya's talking about how he wants, you know, how he had a message from him, how Jig was smiling at the time, and he wants Troma to smile. And the way that it's drawn is pretty heartbreaking. as Jig knows that, you know what, he has to die, but he wants his, in quotation marks, friend, because, again, we hardly had it, they hardly had a chance to know, get to know each other. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and then you've got, yeah, Troma basically says, yeah, know what, you know, this isn't going to just be some information that I input into myself. This is a curse that I'm going to bear with me. And then, like, oh, yeah, hey, let's go fight those dragons. She's like, wait, what? And then and then we cut to 10 years later, and they are in Japan because they found a portal, and they're going to slowly start integrating with the stealthily with the real world. And he sees this school kid that looks exactly like Jig, except it's not Jig because it does never said that they were you know, that they would go to different worlds when they die. So it's just some kid that looks like Jig. Mm. So this would have been a good ending if, again, it weren't for the fact that it was being canceled and therefore it had to rush through its story. What I will say about this, compared to other series that we've seen, such as Barrage and that other one with the... no, not that. No, in this magazine. Barrage and the... Takamagahara, those two, for example.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, compared to those series, which basically got canceled in about before or the same amount of time as Stealth Symphony got captured, those ones didn't have enough time to fully finish up their stories. They just got to one minor, you know, one minor story point, and then, boom, we're done. With these, they were a lot more... with those, they kind of like, you know, there was very much a sense of, no, those were just minor story points. This wasn't the major story point that they wanted to get to. With Stealth Symphony, what it manages to do is, since it got canceled in like, let's see, how many chapters was it actually? This was chapter
20.
So it got canceled within 20 chapters. And so, which I can't remember. I think Barrage and Takaka...
13. No, Barrage is 15.
15? Okay, so it had 5 less chapters, so... Yeah.
I'll talk about the time of Gahara.
No, I can't remember, but yeah, I'm kind of wondering... 70. I'm kind of wondering if Stealth Symphony started wrapping things up with, like, its last 5 chapters, the extra 5 chapters, which, still, with the way Barrage was written, you know that it couldn't have wrapped up the whole point. It just kind of, you know... ended by giving us the main plot points at the end there. But yeah, the thing with this is that I find with this one is that granted it was rushed, but compared to those other series, it managed to get its main plot out. Mm. You know, it wasn't, oh, hey, yeah, and then in the last chapter, I'm going to blah, 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 all this stuff that I was going to do. No, this one actually feels as rushed as it feels, and as much as it needed more time to develop the characters, more time to tell other stories before we wrap everything up. Within 20 chapters, it manages to tell a pretty well self-contained story. So it did manage to wrap things up in a much more elegant way than Takamagahara or Barrage were able to. It feels a little bit more like how Crossmanage managed to wrap itself up. Mm. Though this one, I do feel like this one has a more proper, more traditional ending to it than Crossmanage did. And also, this managed to do it in 20 chapters, and Barrage had, like, 6 volumes of manga that it was, you know, that it was able to get published. So
6 volumes?
It was about...
only 2.
Of Crossmanage?
Oh, I thought you meant Barrage.
No, sorry, Crossmanage was 5, is what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, Crossmanage had 5 volumes. It certainly needed more time, but at the same time, it managed to... It had enough... heads up that it was able to end. Well, this one, Stealth Symphony, managed to pace things well enough for that final story. And granted, we only got like 3 stories, like the introduction, the one with the slaves, and then we got into this, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And so that was a little ham-fisted with how it, you know, finalized, you know, how it had to rush through things, which is a shame.
But you are saying that it managed to wrap itself up in despite the time limit, right?
It managed to wrap itself up well, yes.
Right, you didn't told the, up there, Naruto.
Yeah, it managed to tell the story that it wanted to tell. The story it wanted to tell would have been a lot better if we had have had more time to get to know these characters, but with a little bit of time that they used, we... Yeah, with what they were able to do, I was impressed. So, all right, and let's.
Well, I probably see about this is that they just had too many characters. They needed to focus on the characters that they appeared first, and just let those other characters appear one off for a bit, and then go somewhere else for a while.
Pretty much, if this had have been the ending to a series where we'd actually gotten to know and care about Jig, this would have been absolutely freaking heartbreaking. But at the same time, if we'd actually gotten to know Jig better, we probably would not have accepted an ending that ended with him dead like that. So I do feel that this ending was influenced by the fact that it was cut short, and therefore the author was able to say, okay, you know, they haven't been able to develop enough of an attachment with this character or with this series because we've only had 20 chapters, so I'm going to go ahead and do something that I probably wouldn't do if this were a 500-plus chapter series. So, but yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll get on to the rest of the episode, shall we?
Yeah.
It's time for Shokugeki no Soma, Chapter 77. And this chapter, we learn that, what's his face, Cheater McCheaterson, I think his name is.
Rima Sakatsubaru, otherwise known as Stalker McStalkerson, too.
Yes. And, yeah, so we find out that he's, his strategy, even though it's said that he's not a very good cook, we find out that his strategy is to learn, is to study his opponents, study what their, you know, what their groceries are and whatnot, figure out what they're going to make for the competition, and then make exactly what they make, except go above and beyond and add some extra steps to improve upon what his opponent was making.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, he's making the same semifreddo, which is a type of dessert. The name means semi-frozen in Italian, and it basically combines the coldness of ice cream with the texture of cake. So it's kind of like an ice cream cake, except more fancy.
Oh my goodness, I want that.
That does sound delicious, doesn't it?
It'll wake me up for sure.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely. And, of course, you get some more of the women in the audience going bananas over Takumi. And so,
seriously, ladies, stop it. You're giving him a loose flag here. Seriously, when you cheer, oh, you can win. And I'm like, nah, he's going to lose.
That normally cheering does the opposite. I don't know what kind of mental problem you have, but attractive women cheering for me would encourage me to do better, so.
But in shonen manga logic, you'll tend to lose no matter what.
Well, yeah, but
shonen manga logic. I wish it was real world logic, but
it's not. Why would you want attractive women cheering for you to be a bad thing? You're making no sense.
No, not my man. Mm. I mean, I wish it worked in a good way. In the manga, even.
Okay. Well, anyway, moving on.
That pattern.
Yeah, we've got, oh yeah, the guy's suit.
They're like, what a pattern, that pattern.
Yeah. And we also see that Mimasaka is just as delicate with his preparations. So people are like, I can practically see the figure of a maiden doing embroidery and everyone's like, it's a horrible gap. Yeah, and so he's basically, mentally attacking Takumi with the knowledge that, hey, no matter what you do, I know what you're doing and I'm doing it better. And so that's a pretty interesting way to, do it.
I know what you're going to say, and it isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty, it's a pretty douchey, douchey thing to do, and you've got one of the, I don't know his name, but the judge that wears the kimono, like the direct, kind of similar to what the director does, but he's got,
I just recognize, him as the, bald guy who keeps freaking acting all freaking white.
Yeah, and he, he has, he's pretty pissed because he's like saying, dude, this isn't right. And they're telling the director, hey, come on, you really going to do this? And everyone's like, no, it's just about winning. That's all that matters. And so, yeah. And so it's an interesting matchup, and it's very interesting because it is very much, you know, Mimasaka as an antagonist is a lot of fun because, one, we got the we continue to get the contrasting parts of his character with the whole, oh, hey, look, he's this big, rough-looking guy, but at the same time, he's also, you know, able to do really delicate work. So, you know, we got a character that comes across as kind of like a massive jerk, but at the same, you know, but at the same time, he's not quite, but then again, he is a massive jerk. So, it's a very fun character because he keeps he keeps, you know, he keeps changing and whatnot. And then we end with Takumi saying, is like, I'm going to, you know what, I'll take all the recipes I've created and surpass them. And then that's the chapter. It's a good chapter. I really quite liked it. Just for the reasons that I just mentioned, just Mimasaka as an antagonist is a lot of fun.
Maybe the reason why this part of the competition feels a little bit more is probably because the author, in a way, kind of knows how the reader will react. You know, how much it to us, too. But, oh, I know what you're going to think, right? You're going to think I'm doing this. But, no, I'm really doing this because, I'm not going to follow the trope, not fall into that trope. Yeah. I hate tropes, to be honest, and memes.
Well, they infect kind of
my brain, and it really irritates me.
They're kind of inevitable, but yeah.
They are. That's the thing. I don't want to deal with it, but they're there, and people are pointing out in the first place. But yeah, so, yeah, Subaru. Here's what I saw him as of this chapter. Not just Stalker McStalker, but McCopy McStealer. And remind me of this enemy from the Kirby Superstar games called Tack, where it was probably the worst enemy you'll face if you play that game, because if you had an ability and you loved it so much, the enemy attack comes over, freaking hits you, steals your ability, and runs away. What the hell?
Yeah.
I hate that so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I hate that so much.
Yeah.
This is kind of just what Subaru was doing. He basically finds them, steals their ingredients, and then just copies it and just freaking mocks them, in a way. But still a good antagonist, though. Actually a good antagonist, I have to admit. The kind you want to hate.
Yes, indeed. Alright then, shall we move on to Assassination Classroom?
Oh, yeah.
Which chapter do we have?
Wait, when did it update? That's the problem with Assassination Classroom. I can't tell when it updates.
Well, the most recent one was on the 14th. So there was one on the 1st of July.
Let's see. The most recent one we did was 91, so 92 then. Chapter 92.
Okay. Yeah, we're way out of sync.
But we could do both, but I didn't take my pieces. I thought we weren't going to do them because I totally forgot about 92nd one. See, that's the thing I don't like about them. Scammers have their lives and stuff, but it kind of throws it off for me.
Honestly, this is a series that I really wish we'd just have in the magazine, because I hate Scanlations.
I hate them so much, too.
They're
so easy to get
to deal with. But, yeah, let's see. Anyway, the chapter itself, let's actually just talk about the manga. So, let's see, this chapter begins the assault on, you know, the assault on their pole. And you send the football player guy over, and he's a lot more...
I love how he looked.
Yeah, it's like he does the, like, Yuni does a tackle, he just knocks him out of the way. It's pretty hilarious. And then they, of course, have a plan, and they manage to trap him using the, him and his group using the weight of the pole to keep them down. And so that is, yeah, so already we know they, hey, they have a plan, and it's a very, they use their smarts instead of relying on brute force. But then, of course, it's, since, yeah, the other side has way more people, which that seems weird that they would, that this competition would be set up where one team has significantly more than the other. But
well,
then
it's
again,
class asshole, you know. I mean, A-hole.
Yeah.
But, I kind of ruined the joke then.
Yes, you did. But, yeah, then again, you also have to remember that this school doesn't work on normal logic. So, yeah, you kind of, yeah, you end up with the, yeah, you end up basically with all of them kind of like, you know, the Class A going on about, oh, hey, these guys that we have, this is why they're so good. And then Class E counters it by, you know, using better military tactics, such as, and I can't believe this is legit, running into the stands and using the chairs to get away.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty hilarious.
And also, it was also funny when those two guys were mocking them, and they, oh, wait, what the heck, they chose me? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was just delicious. I was mm-hmm. like, yes, take that, you side characters.
Yeah, and it's also, and we also end up with the, at the end of the chapter, we have them all the students, all the other students are just kind of sitting there and saying, like, I wonder how Class E will win this time. And so they're all not really rooting for them per se, but they are certainly interested. And so, let's see. Yeah, so it's definitely a, come on, there we go. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting chapter in that, you know, how it's playing on our expectations, and it is, you know, and we, come on, there we go, yeah. And it kind of, like, you know, is playing around with the idea of, normally, you know, everyone is against Class E, but, you know, they're starting to think, oh, hey, I wonder what Class E is going to do next, kind of deal. So, it's a good chapter, I liked it. And also the tactics were funny.
Didn't we review this?
No, I don't recall reviewing it.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
Because it came on July 1st, oh, okay, be safe.
I don't know. I thought you're the one that keeps the notes, so you would be able to check up.
I thought you keep the notes, too.
Nope. All memory, baby.
How do you... I don't...
Anyway, the chapter.
Oh, yeah, the chapter. It was fun, but I actually really do swear we read it for. Maybe it was because it's, like I said, it's just a late come out, so... Because the other one just recently came out, and was just 2 weeks after this one. So, yeah. Hmm. Actually, it was a fun chapter because I like to see those two mooks actually get what they had coming. That was fun.
Yeah. Well, looking at the calendar, time-wise, we should have read it for last week, but I don't recall going over it at all.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't recall. Man, this is exactly why I hate it. Even when I take my notes, I'm like, wait a sec. Did we actually? No,
you know, for next week, let's just do chapters.
Let's just catch up now.
This is just absolutely inane that we can't even remember what's what because these stupid release dates. So,
well, these aren't official release dates. These are release dates due to the people who, you know, wish that the two series would actually come. Well, Shogun is coming out here, but this one is going to be coming out in winter.
Yeah, but we're not ready to do it now, so we'll do it next week. We'll just do whatever we haven't reviewed and just do two chapters so that we're completely up to date because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Kodansha chapter, starting with Fairy Tale.
Chapter 392.
Yep, and in this chapter we have Wendy who decides, hey, let's go find all the other guild. Let's go get to What's his face? Let's see. Warren, that's it, yeah. Let's go to Warren. We need to use his telepathy to get in touch with all the other guilds on the continent and tell them, hey, you know those creepy things? Could you please destroy them?
Yeah.
And, yep. But
Wait,
other than.
how long does it take for those creepy base things to actually like detonate?
Should say, didn't it say here? Let's see. Oh, no, it doesn't say here. I don't
I
recall.
think it said some other chapters. I think it said like the chapter, I can't remember, like 15 minutes or something.
Don't know. I don't
It was
remember.
5 minutes. It'd be like, Mashima, you can't do that in 5 minutes. You freak.
No, I think people are staying away from the 5 minute thing, time period, but no, I don't remember. So, alright. So, yeah, this chapter we get a lot of the whole, oh, hey, Gray's gonna use Iced Shell because that's the only way he can destroy Deliora. And of course, we start off with Juvia being all, "Oh, wait," realizing this, and then
Wait, how does she even know? Does she even know? Does she even know about the ice shell?
she probably does. I can imagine that with the amount of time that she spends around Gray, he probably mentioned it at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, so you got Gray who, yeah, after taking a beating, he finally decides, you know what? I'm gonna use Iced Shell. And he remembers, and he uses like just an ice statue to distract Deliora. And then he remembers his friends, and Aonatsu said, "Hey, I stopped you from using this because I didn't want you to die." And then he remembers Lucy, Wendy, Urza, Elfman, Mira Jane, Gajeel, Kana. he remembers Leon, And then, of course, he remembers Juvia last, and he's like, "I'm sorry." And then he starts using Iced Shell. And then he remembers Ultir, the actual one that he remembers last. And for some reason, he remembers her naked, which is interesting. So,
Okay.
yeah, you can read this in as into this as you want. I'm sure people will read it however they want. They could read it as, oh, he remembers Ultir last, so that's the one that's most important to him, or he remembered Juvia last before he apologizes, so he's apologizing directly to her. He remembers her saying his name with a heart in the speech bubble, so what does that mean? Although, I don't know. It could mean a variety of things, and after he flat out rejected her in that, at the end of the previous, no, not the previous arc, but the Dragon Festival arc, it always seems kind of weird whenever Mashima comes back to it, and I'm like, if you could be clear about what you're trying to do, that would be nice,
Please,
but.
Masha, do not be like Kishimoto. Kishimoto pisses me off so much, and it's not even a story that's pissing me off these days.
Yeah, there's other reasons, but nonetheless, this is kind of one of those scenes that people will interpret however they want. And so,
Well, we're gonna interpret it, and they'll probably think, "Oh no, he's the fan group probably think he's in love with Natsu." I'm like, no, but it's because
probably.
he's probably the bigger panel of them
Yeah,
all.
it's like he remembered him first.
Because you remember your rivals more than you remember your loved ones.
Yep, but anyway, yeah, you got Deliora is like, "I can defeat Ice Shell because Ice Shell doesn't work on me." And then it turns out that it was another ice sculpture, and Gray managed to get an iron ball from the rubble because, hey, he's the one that melted the frozen flame before, so he can do it again. And melted the flame, melted the ice, got to the iron ball, uses like a. Puts it in like an ice fist type of thing, and then throws it. And. Yeah, basically it's like he's playing. Yeah, he has an ice gauntlet now that increases his throwing speed, and he throws the it right through Deliora's chest, and that's kind of the end of it. And yeah, and it was. And also, Grace says something as like, "You thought I wouldn't notice, but why? Damn it, you ain't no Deliora. you're my dad, right?" So it's a twist upon a twist upon a twist, where
Perception.
Mashima comes right back around and gives us the original twist that we said was too obvious after having done a different twist. And I'm not sure how I'd feel about that if it turns out that he really actually is his dad, because it turning out to be Deliora is so much more clever that I think that this final twist would just be too much. You know, it's like you're coming, you've done a complete 360 back to where you started. And so it's not, I don't think I quite care for it that much.
In a way, I guess some will probably say, oh, he did this twist, but it wasn't, but he could, but instead he went for this, but yes, he really did this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why didn't you do this in the first place? Well, that's because it was too obvious.
Yeah, obvious. I don't want it to be obvious, but
nobody
yeah.
wants to be.
Still, it was a good chapter.
Even if it is his dad, I mean, how did that silver be able to conquer Deliora in the first place, even, is the question. And also, Silver's considered one of the demons of from the Book of Zeros, so that's also confusing in its own way. Maybe yeah. Gray saying, you know, even though you're Deliora, you're still my dad. I don't know how the hell I'm supposed to even deal with this. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe Silver managed to take some control over Deliora at some point. I don't even know. We'll have to see the next chapter.
Indeed, yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it has its moments for people to speculate. It had a good fight and a pretty decent resolution to it and a possible another twist on it. So, personally, I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, let's move on to Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 85. The party begins, and...
That's chapter cover.
Yeah, indeed, the party does indeed begin, because, good grief, So I guess Merlin's the fan service character now, because she is completely naked except for these stripes of, I guess, cloth, because it looks like one's kind of falling down.
Yeah, I can't even tell.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some other comments, and they probably still think that that's probably a man. Like, chest, but still. Also, what's that finger? That hand?
Yeah, the thing that she's doing with his fingers is really weird. I'm not sure what's up with that.
That's not even how a hand bends. A finger bends up. No, I don't think my finger can even bend like that. It can't. No, it cannot. It just can't. My middle finger cannot bend like that. I am serious. I'm trying to do it. I know it cannot bend like that. I mean...
Well, apparently
some Dragon Claws could work, but this one, no, I don't.
Well, apparently we're supposed to take away that she's very skilled with her fingers. So, all right, let's go ahead and talk about the actual chapter where, what's her name again? It's been a while.
Who?
The chick with the terrible armor.
Oh, Jericho.
Jericho, that's it. Walls of Jericho. Yeah, so Jericho wakes up and she's like, hey, what's going on? But then it turns out, oh, by the way, Dreyfus confessed to having murdered his brother. Hendrickson and Helbram are dead. And you've got, man, Jericho's like, oh, wait, you know, none of this makes any sense. And, you know, Gwila's saying, oh, you know what, why did you drink the demon blood? I did it to protect my... brother, and Jericho's going on about how, you know, she did it because she wanted, you know, because her brother always mocked her about how she couldn't be a holy knight because she's a girl. And in the panel that she's, you know, that she is saying this, it just emphasizes, again, why this is the worst, she has the worst fantasy armor ever. Because, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to have a chainmail bikini. At least there, you know, I mean, as stupid as the argument of you've got better mobility is, it's true. You can move better when you're wearing barely nothing as opposed to wearing a full suit of plate armor, you know? I mean, it's still not safe. You've still got a lot very exposed. You're going to get stabbed and cut in places that could have been protected by armor. But again, as stupid as the excuse is, you can still move better and faster when you're wearing a bikini versus when you're wearing an entire suit of armor. Even armor that's, you know, more like, I don't know, just the different varieties of stupid sexy armor is better than this. I mean, you've got the ones where they've got like the chest plate and they've got the breasts molded into the chest plate, which makes no sense because for any woman to need a breastplate that, you know, actually has the shape of their breasts underneath it, they'd have to have like Dolly Parton size breasts in order for there to be any need. Any regularly shaped woman can get away with a flat breastplate, and it's also safer because
also, you know, they make it look like it's easy to make that kind of freaking breastplate armor. It's like, oh yeah, very easy to curve this thing up. Who? Sure.
Who makes it easy? Nobody makes it easy. You haven't seen them make it. No, that's not even the reason for it. The reason that it's stupid is because, you know, the way a breastplate is designed, the blows glance off. But when you put breasts on it, or cups, as we shall say, it gives them a point, it gives like a thrust, a point to catch and penetrate.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Also, let's just say that the Jericho's armor is really pointless because why the heck is her cleavage exposed?
Yes, that's what I was working my way up towards.
I know,
but
you're gonna take too long to do.
Yeah, no. I want people to understand that why. I mean, it's like writing a research paper. You don't start off by saying this is why my reason. No, you start off saying this is my reason. Here, and then you build up you build up arguments to make your reason sound even better. Ergo, the reference to all the other types of stupid fantasy armor that women have, and the possibility that they have at least some protection. The breasted chest plates having at least the advantage of they actually cover things. Sure, it's not the safest and not the ideal, but they still cover things. Jericho's is a problem because not only is it for everything else, it's a regular breastplate, and she has all of the negatives of a full suit of armor with none of the positives, because she has a massive gaping hole right where her heart is.
Yep.
Phew.
Well, the heart is on the left side.
I'm allergic to terrible
kind
armor
of partially
design.
Covered. But she can just get stabbed right through and she'll bleed anyway.
Yeah, so that's stupid. But we continue on with... Let's see. We continue on and we have... Seems like the king is... Still, you know, is sick, so Merlin and Arthur take him along, and Arthur says, hey, he's like, hey, Meliodas, you should be the chief knight of Camelot, chief holy knight of Camelot, and Meliodas is like, yeah, sure, but first I've got some other crap to deal with, and Arthur's like, oh, and then we find out that the castle, kind of, the tower falls, and you know, all the people that are capable of it save others, and you've got a really weird scene of King trying to carry Diane, and the place that he grabbed happened to be the front of her shirt, so not a great idea there.
Yeah, I see it.
Then it turns out that Hendrickson is still around, and one of the knights doesn't recognize him. And then Hendrickson activates the demon blood, and all the people of the new generation turn into these giant demons.
Ew.
We end up with everyone. Well, Gwila and Jericho haven't transformed.
But they're suffering, and they're trying to pretty much fight against it. But yeah, the other guys are turning into it, though. And then they're grotesque.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if Gwila and Jericho are the only two females of the new generation. It's like, oh, they're not turning because female. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of this chapter?
Yeah, it's It's a really good chapter. I really like the how we're going, you know, turning in, going from "aha, we've won" to "oh shit," and also you're kind of wondering, oh geez, Gwila and Jericho are are in trouble. They're starting to transform, or they're not transforming yet, but they're in pain. So something's clearly happening. And of course, Jericho, the one of the fan service characters, is lying on her back. The under part of her armor completely stripped away, with her legs spread wide open, and I'm like, this is a little shameless, but whatever. And so,
yeah. It's hard to see in that panel, but if you say so.
Dude, it's a giant panel.
Oh, that.
Yeah, so, but nonetheless, it is, I really like the designs of the demons that we're getting here, you know? They kind of remind me of something a little bit, something that you'd see in Berserk, except less soul-crushingly depressing.
Well, this isn't the same, just like you know that.
Yeah. One sec. Let's see. Alright, well, that's that. So, sorry, I was a little distracted defending One Piece from one of my friends. So.
Yeah, I had to do that to myself with a friend of mine.
Yeah, so, I don't know, he's playing the... Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's see. It is time for us to wrap things up. Because I need to go see a movie. Alright, starting with the author comments. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. One of my assistants brought the SNES version of Bomberman, and we've been playing it during breaks. It's hot.
Is it hot, or is the game hot?
Well, I don't know.
Either way, I wish I had an SNES. It's not be playing Sigurumana. Man, I want to finish that game. Anyways, Naruto with Masashi Kishimoto. It's cherry season. Cherry. Sorry, a little PTSD there. And I love them. I'm going to eat a ton this year, even though I don't look so cool when I do. No, please. I hope he has been watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 3.
Yeah.
All
right.
He has.
Yeah. Hunter x Hunter's Yoshihiro Togashi, number 5, is the lead for my mechanical pencil. Number 6 is the ink bottle lid. This is all just based on how I feel.
Are you sure you didn't just misplace them like my mom misplaces her car keys in her purse? Oh, man. It's a family thing, to be honest. We're like, hey, where's my stuff? Oh, it's in my pocket the whole time. But after, like, spending, like, 10 minutes looking for it. Seriously, I always 6 times check my stuff before I leave, always. And yeah, I still somehow forget something. Anyways, Torgo's Mitsutoshi Shinbukuro. I bought an AC cleaner from the shopping channel. You just wait, AC. Wait, I don't get it.
Okay. Bleaches, Tite Kubo. I went to the Ballet Russe's exhibit. The Giorgio de Chirico costumes were so amazing.
Giorgio de Chirico.
I don't know what I'm saying. Next one.
Nisekoi's Nashikomi. Nisekoi Anime DVD number 4 is now on sale in Japan. Check out Rouge ending theme. Thanks.
Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Narita. I'll use this experience to keep working hard.
Well, go back to light novels, please, and actually understand the difference between light novels and manga, please.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad, I'm just saying.
Mm.
Oh, and the Stealth Symphony's Yoichi Amano. Volumes 1 and 2 will come out August 4th in Japan with bonus content. I hope you can do better with another
film. Yeah, it probably won't come out in the States.
It won't. It might because Barrage did. I'm not sure, though.
Yep. All right. Well, okay, let's do the rankings for this week.
Oh, yes, the rankings.
Let's see. Rankings. Oh, dear me. Let's see. I really should have figured these out beforehand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. My number 4 is... I'd have to say my number 4 is Toriko.
Okay.
Yeah, I just liked it. It was good. I don't have to give you a reason. Get off my back.
Okay. All right,
your turn.
Hunter x Hunter. You know, it was confusing to me. It still managed to set some things up, and they kind of like had like that whole cliffhanger of, oh, they're going to settle things. I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be a bloodbath in there. And all. Yeah. We're gone.
I know. He's back home. He's gone.
Oh, my God. I would have laughed so hard if that was the entire pun of the series for Togashi. He was like, hey, where's gone? Oh, he's back home. He's gone. Oh, man. That was just so uncalled for.
Yes. All right. Number three. Let's see. I say World Trigger for number three.
Okay.
And what's your number three?
Nisekoi.
Cool. And let's see. Number two is the Rurouni Kenshin one.
Number two for me would be Bleach.
Nice. Interesting. That one I'm actually kind of curious. Why?
Well, I guess the whole surprise. And like I said, I rank chapters based on how I feel about reading them. And it was good to see Bambi again, even though she's kind of zombie.
Yeah. You know? All right. Yep. And my number one is Nisekoi.
Okay.
It was just funny. I mean, Nisekoi can be relied upon to entertain me pretty well, so I can't complain about it. So, all right then.
Toriko's my number one. If you want.
Toriko's your number one? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because, you know, keep the frog from sacrificing himself, and Toriko's going to take on Nightmare Heritage. Which we all know, he's not really going to die. He's just probably going to suffer some really massive wound that's going to probably make him suffer for the next part of the gourmet world, maybe. 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 Unless he eats air and he's, oh, I feel good again. Like, oh, great. Well, whatever. Can't kill the main character off that easily. But where are the other three guys, though?
In different parts of the gourmet world. Keep in mind, the gourmet world is large.
I know. They're in the Land World Part 8, whatever, I don't know what it's called. Continent 8, I don't know. It's not even a continent, it's like freaking, like, it's like a weird rectangular outline of land, is what I would say.
Indeed. Yeah. Alright then, I think that about takes care of everything. Let us take a moment and wrap things up. Well, we've already wrapped things up. Remember, any questions and comments, go to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or at burninglizard on Twitter or burninglizardstudios.com. Any questions and comments, we'll read them on the air and answer them for you. But for now, this has been episode 105. As usual, I am your host, Derek, and I've been joined by my co-host, Mo.
See you, everyone.
And yes, we will see you later when I'm not as distracted as I am right now. Just remember, folks.
Stop being distracted. Bad. Yeah. I know I'm distracted too at some point.
Yes. Tisk. Yeah. I should just close everything besides what I need to record. Yeah. Remember, people, the anime. Son of a bitch, I did this last week. The manga is always better.
Yeah, Matane.